Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
You guys are going to make me relive that hellscape all as I'm getting ready to try and start figure out what the hell is going on in college football. We have got anarchy in the streets when it comes to our food choices and our food tastes in 2020, but we've got even more anarchy unveiling and developing right now in the world of college football. It's Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Janae Aguimake. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests are going to join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Now, I say, and Chinee Agumake. Chinee is going to be joining us in about a half hour's time. She's holding it down on the jump. A lot of NBA action going on today. I saw her on there with Rachel Nichols, Amin El Hassan. Big news, I saw Trae Young signed and, I believe, re-up with Adidas. Going to have his own signature shoe coming out. So all cool news coming out of the jump. Obviously, Rachel and that crew do a great job at all times. We'll have plenty to get into on the NBA side of things because this has slowly become Harden watch in the NBA at this point. And I am fascinated by something we touched on briefly yesterday. We've had this discussion in the past, but it became more real as we talked about James Harden and his reported, you know, sources telling ESPN that James Harden would be okay if a trade were to come together with the Philadelphia 76ers, who obviously are now home to Daryl Morey, who spent a lot of time in Houston with James Harden, and certainly a number of other factors in there. But Philly's fascination with holding on to Ben Simmons, if it were to come down to that, is just that. It's fascinating to me, and I want to dive into that plenty as we go along to the course of the day. But the big news coming out of the world, we were talking about this a lot yesterday, as Ohio State and Michigan was canceled yesterday, that game because of an outbreak of positive cases of COVID-19 in the Michigan football program, led to this morning a meeting among Big Ten athletic directors going through and trying to decide what their course of action was going to be surrounding Ohio State, surrounding that six-game threshold that they had put into play for the teams that were looking to be a part of the Big Ten championship. Again, that was something arbitrary that they put together just this season. And so we saw this morning, and we saw sources, this is courtesy of Adam Rittenberg on Twitter, our great ESPN college football reporter, sources tell Heather Dinich that the Big Ten is expected to change the six-game requirement for the league title game, pending further approval from athletic directors, SWAs, presidents, chancellors. This would allow Ohio State to face Northwestern next week in Indianapolis. So those are the reports that we're getting, that pending further approval, this seems like the direction that they're going to go. And so since Janae is holding things down on the jump and we're going to talk some college football, I figure no one better to help us do that than our very own Peter Burns of the SEC Network. You can also catch him Sunday morning, 7 to 10 Eastern on Best Week Ever with Katie George. Peter joining us now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Peter, what's going on, man?
Go, Joe. I am in a fine mood, except when you look at my Twitter mentions today. I don't know why Buckeye fans are upset with me. Like, again, how poorly handled this entire season has been for the Big Ten. Like, Buckeye fans should be mad at me. Like, they deserve zero of this criticism. Right, Gojo? I mean, like, you think about it. Had the Big Ten not listened to Nebraska and Ohio State, they wouldn't even be playing football this year. So, I mean, the Buckeyes have done everything they could to have a season, and it's interesting of how I see Ohio State hatred out there about the Big Ten changing the rules. It's not their fault, right? I mean, they're doing everything they can right now, Gojo.
Peter, completely agree. And listen, I can understand why Ohio State fans might be mad at you because you're very good at poking the bear. So I imagine somewhere along the line, you've managed to ruffle the feathers a little bit, Peter. But I think you're right in this instance, because looking at this situation, Ohio State, especially knowing what side of the conference they're coming from, the East, Indiana over in that group, who Ohio State has already beaten on the field this year. And so I think, Peter, that sell has to go a long way, right? Where you're not trying to get Ohio State in there who's got a loss to a team you'd have them jump or anything crazy like that. They did it on the field. They were shorted games because of things outside of their control. And now you're going to get them to go out there and likely beat Northwestern to a living pulp.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately what it comes down to is that the Big Ten pinned themselves into bad decision upon bad decision upon bad optics. And again, I think where it doesn't sit right with so many people is the fact of fans outside of the Big Ten go, well, wasn't this the conference that tried to shut down all of college football? I mean, wasn't this the conference that was on the phone and talking to the ACC and SEC and Big 12 going, hey, listen, we're shutting this thing down. We know the Pac-12 is going to follow us, but hey, we're going to do this. We expect y'all to do the same thing. And the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 said, no, we feel comfortable that we can play a season And now, all of a sudden, in a weird way, the Big Ten not only kind of mitigated their risk of as far as playing a full schedule and having one of their teams be upset, but now they're going to be possibly rewarded by it by a late change in the season. I think that's where the vitriol is, saying, all right, how many times are we just going to change it and draw it up in the dirt? But I guess that's what college football is in 2020, just like college basketball is right now.
Yeah, it's Janan Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Gold Jr. talking with Peter Burns here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And that's just it, Peter. We're not, but like, these aren't rules established by the Big Ten that go back decades, right?
Right.
That we're forsaking in this instance. They drew them up after they weren't sure they were coming back for this season. And you brought it up there, Peter, the decision that they made this summer. I think a lot less of it is the what for me. If you would tell me still that a conference looked at the landscape this summer and said, we did not deem it safe to go and do this and decided, hey, we're going to pull back on this right now, I'd have a hard time faulting them. But when you're the Big Ten and you went about it the way you did, not communicating with the athletic directors, the coaches, the teams, the parents of your school, giving little to any information out all there, the how, Peter, seemed so much more problematic in the way this went about that this ends up becoming a it's never too late to do the right thing type of moment for them.
Well, and at the same point now, if I'm sitting there and I'm a Texas A&M fan or even a Cincinnati fan, I think about it and go, well, wait a minute. You know, let's take Texas A&M. I think that's probably the biggest going to be discussion. Would you agree about if A&M ends up going 8-1 and they defeat Tennessee on December the 19th, that's going to be the conversation if it appears that Ohio State, let's say they're what, a 20-point favorite against Northwestern. They beat Northwestern and it's Texas A&M at 8-1. Is that the discussion that the college football playoff is going to have, assuming chalk wins out?
Yeah, it's all going to hinge on that, Peter, because as much as we want to talk about, you know, the Big 12 all of a sudden starting to have teams on the rise, Iowa State ranked inside of the top 10 after thumping West Virginia and another week removed from beating a ranked Texas team on there. As much as those are stories in development, I really think this year it's about those groups and about those teams that are in that close proximity. So it's Texas A&M and certainly what Florida has before it, plenty of opportunities, including the SEC title game where they're going to get to go out and Peter, this is always the interesting part because I want to stick with that, but I also want to remind people that when we get towards conference championship weekend, and we'll wait to hear, so far the committee has met in person, which some people disagree with, but it's happening. They've also, in the past, conference championship weekend has been the only weekend that the committee is together in a room watching these games all unfold in front of each other. And I think there's an interesting human element portion of that that we can get to. So I want to stick here with you. Janan Golick Jr. reminding you to be a part of Janan Golick Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Dr. Pepper, ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. The college football season's heating up. So is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. At Mike Golick Jr., at Peter Burns, ESPN. And coming up next, let's get with that. The argument to be made for Texas A&M and the case that they're going to present come the end of this year to the College Football Playoff Committee. We'll do that here. It's Janan Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janan Golick Jr., the podcast.
What's it going to take? Get some respect from the committee. There are a few teams on the outside looking in right now that are wondering just that as they watch the rules get moved around inside the Big Ten in favor of Ohio State. It's Janan Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. alongside Chinne Agumake, who's going to be here in about 15 minutes, getting ready to go. She is finishing up some awesome work on The Jump today with Rachel Nichols and company there. And so we're delighted to be joined by Peter Burns with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line with the Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Does a great job covering the SEC for us over the SEC Network. Hosts Best Week Ever Sunday morning, 7 to 10 Eastern, alongside Katie George. But Peter
Gojo, real quick. I love how Shanae's like, listen, I'm going to do television. I'll get to you, Gojo, in the radio show when I can. Like, I will suffer you for the next couple of hours, and I'll get there. You know, she's been done for like an hour, right? She's just hanging because she doesn't want to chill with you for a couple hours.
Peter,
you know that's the deal, right?
100%. And listen, you know this. You, like me, understand like where the stars are in the equation in this situation, right? Like, you've worked with Laura Rutledge and Marcus Spears, who are off, you know, doing big things in the NFL Live and TV there. And we know we're just on their payroll. We're waiting on them. Dollar waiting on a dime here.
See, what I do is, my beauty here at ESPN is I set the bar so low that anytime I host with somebody, they look better. And that's actually a talent for me to say the things that I do on national radio, and that way it makes everybody look that much smarter, there's a method to the match. You know the meme of the guy just pointing at his head like, uh-huh, I outsmarted everybody? That's me right now.
Well, if we're going to meme this right now, it's the Spider-Man pointing meme, Peter, because I have operated under the exact same school of thought the Stugot School of Broadcasting has taught me to keep the bar insanely low. And so you and I are just going to try not to trip over it right here. And before we get to college football, Peter, I do have to ask, because I saw this today on Twitter. Chargers offensive lineman Forrest Lamp has signed an endorsement deal with Lamp Plus, a lamp company for an offensive lineman named Lamp. You have a last name that works itself well into advertising. Are you doing anything in like the grilling industry, anything in that ad space with a last name like Burns?
Well, first of all, with my first name being Peter, I probably should, you know, have some type of like Valtrex endorsement or something along those lines.
Yeah,
you know,
makes something sense.
But just, I mean, Peter Burns, I mean, that name lends itself to that type of endorsement, but none, not yet. But however, you can hit up the DMs. I'll be happy to do it.
There we go. Slide into Peter's DMs. In the meantime, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And Peter, we were talking about the changes made in the Big Ten. The Big Ten athletic directors getting together this morning and reports to our own Heather Dinich that it looks like pending further approval, they are going to remove that six-game requirement to play in their conference championship game. And for lack of a better term, kind of help clear a path for Ohio State to be involved in that, who we know is still ranked fourth in the College Football Playoff Committee's latest round of rankings. Peter, you do a great job covering the SEC, so I'm curious, for a team like Texas A&M sitting at five, for a team like Florida sitting at six right now, what has the reaction been like around those areas? What's the reaction around the SEC that is used to having two teams potentially in contention for something like the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, at least for the Gators, they look at it and go, listen, we already know our path, right? If we beat LSU, which is a pretty good chance of that happening, Gojo, this weekend, and they end up beating Alabama in the SEC championship game, they are in. So they pretty much control their own fate at this point. It's for Texas A&M Aggie fans that I think are the most bent about this, because they said, well, wait a minute, our strength or schedule, let's compared to what Ohio State has done versus A&M, and when you look at the analytics of it in the College Football Playoff, we've done the mock selection committee before, you see what the strength of schedule is, and it's got Ohio State right now as the 72nd ranked strength of schedule, and it's got A&M as the 6th hardest schedule out there, and they'll look at it and go, well, wait a minute, well, why didn't we just play 6-7 games? I mean, so you mean to tell me that we're not going to take into account playing most of an entire season, and not only the toughest conference in college football traditionally, but the SEC West, which is traditionally the toughest division in college football? We're going to go 8-1, and we're just going to let Ohio State get in at a quote-unquote 6-0 if that game is played? I think that's why Aggie fans have a hard time looking at it, because, Gojo, think about this. Like, we talked about this last night on the ranking show. If you look at the proverbial quote-unquote eye test, Ohio State passed that in 2017, right? For most of the season, they looked incredible. And then they ran into, what, an Iowa team and lost by 31. And then, what, the year later in 2018, they looked like the eye test, man. They're rolling. This team is awesome. They're going to be fantastic. Oh, and then they play, what, Purdue and lose by 29. So there is something to be said about the longevity of a season and playing those many games. And now the Big Ten has basically said, we're just going to change the rules. And I wonder, and this is the question I pose to you, would the Big Ten have done this if they didn't see the ACC change rules midstream to help Notre Dame and Clemson in their path to the college football playoff?
Peter, I think so, because I think a lot of that one, and for anyone that wasn't aware or forgotten about that, yes, Clemson was scheduled to not have a game before the ACC championship after securing their spot. Notre Dame was set to play Wake Forest in a game that was being made up from earlier in the season, and the ACC decided that in competitive interest, competitive fairness interest to that championship game, they were going to move that around so they would both be coming off a bye that weekend. So, Peter, I think more of this just has to do with an ambition of making sure they preserve their best opportunity, right? Because I'm sure you, like me, heard a lot of people mentioning that, would the Big Ten have done this if it weren't for the ACC doing that? Would the Big Ten have done this for a team that wasn't the brand name like Ohio State, right? If you had someone on the outside looking in who was maybe wearing a different helmet, maybe someone like Indiana who would be the team losing out most if this happens.
You think that happens? You think if it was Purdue, if it was Illinois, if it was anyone else other than Ohio State, are they making this move?
Peter, I think if they're in the same position, then yes. Now, I can question if a team was undefeated with Ohio State's resume would be ranked as high by the committee, would be the number four team in the country if they didn't have Ohio State's helmet sticker on there. But you're telling me, Peter, that if Indiana had beaten Ohio State on the field, was ranked number four in the country by the playoff committee, but by some turn of events like this was kept out of the play of the conversation for their own conference title game, that they wouldn't be pulling the same strings. I disagree with you.
That they see, and that ends up being the hypothetical question that cannot be answered. Now, the more interesting part is, remember the Big Ten and their conference, and they've talked about it before, going, oh, well, you know, I mean, the SEC only plays eight conference games. Look at the ACC. They only play eight conference games. We're a true conference because we play nine conference games. In fact, we should play more. And now all of a sudden, it's you know, kind of interesting about how that is silent, how it's no longer how many games did you play in a season. And so, again, the high and mighty of the Big Ten has taken a mighty, mighty fall after the way that they've handled this entire season and now the rationale that they use. And let's not lose the fact of this, that the head of the College Football Playoff Committee this year is being asked questions about what can we do to get the Big Ten in. Like, he you know, Barta at Iowa has his hat one day as the College Football Playoff spokesperson, and then the next day he takes that hat off, and they're having a conversation going, should we try to get Ohio State in, and if so, how do we go ahead and do this? Like, that to me is something that's intriguing to me. Again, I hate the fact that you have schools involved in the College Football Playoff, whether they're administrators or whatnot, because you're always going to have some type of inherent bias, and I think that bias is coming out, and that's one of the reasons why Ohio State's going to get their chance.
No matter how many people you recuse from the room, which is the process that happens inside that committee room, we know it's never quite that easy. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise, and the Big Ten making it official, they put out a statement. This is their Twitter account putting this out, quote, in collaboration with the Big Ten I'm assuming that's, I don't know what COPNC is.
COPC, yeah.
COPC and conference office, the ADs, the SWAs, white heavy checkmark vote to eliminate the game requirement in the 2020 Big Ten football game championship. So they will have Northwestern versus Ohio State. There are a lot of abbreviations in that tweet. Someone in their office needs to do a better job explaining all of those. But the game requirement is eliminated. Ohio State will be eligible to play, and that decision is based on the competitive analysis, regardless of American football wins and losses this weekend. Devin, you have an update on this.
It is the Council of Presidents and Chancellors. You're welcome.
CCP, the Council of Presidents.
That sounds like they sit at a really like a Viking table, like a really important, like the COPCs and the COOCs or whatever, just sit at like a big round table and decide it. And again, what it comes down to is money, right? I mean, that's what it comes down to. I mean, if you're going to say that you're trying to do everything in the integrity of the game, I'm not sure if I'm buying that as opposed to, hey, listen, we think that we can have a team play in the College Football Playoff. We think it's Ohio State, so we're going to do whatever we can to change the rules. And, I mean, that's ultimately what it is. I mean, Gojo, at this point, maybe the SEC next year and the ACC should look at it and go, well, we're only going to play six conference games, and then we'll just have a bunch of slaps that we'll play for six conference games. And if it doesn't work out, let's just change the rules midstream as well. So, I mean, again, the Big Ten showing you know, changing the rules midstream. So that's good to know. We're all taking note of that.
We have learned a lot about that. I hope the one place it does show up is scheduling next year so we can get more instances like BYU and Coastal Carolina. Peter, you're the best. We appreciate the insight, the expertise, and the willingness to applaud people on Twitter, as always, my friend. We will talk to you very soon. All right, brother?
Later, buddy.
Peter Burns, host of the SEC Network, and again, catch the best week ever with him and Katie George Sunday morning, 7 to 10 Eastern here on ESPN Radio. But while we had news out of the Big Ten, we also had football in the NFL last night. But should we have had the game at all? That's next. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming on ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The world of college football making adjustments because of what's gone on this year with COVID-19. The Big Ten announcing it's going to waive that six-game requirement that just put out by the Big Ten itself in a statement. So now Ohio State going to be eligible to participate in the Big Ten championship game. The NFL having to show not flexibility, but that what they've put in place is actually getting the job done. It's Chinay Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. and Chinay Ogwumike, who is back with us now, fresh off her appearance on The Jump. What's going on, Chinay?
Hey, I miss you guys. I did plug. I didn't say that you're a white chocolate on The Jump this time, but I did miss you guys for a moment.
I feel like we're going to find something, because anyone who missed it the last time Chinay was on The Jump, she said, of course I like white chocolate. Look who I do my radio show with. And she didn't think we were going to hear or find that. So, Chinay, we're going to give you the chance now. You were on there with Rachel Nichols, who's a friend of the show, Amin El Hassan, who we love around here. Did you say anything that we're going to find about the show? Because rest assured, no. We're going to go look it.
Nothing about the show, plenty about Houston, and I did defend DeMar DeRozan because of the rankings, you know, being 82nd. So, yeah, I was doing my thing.
Wait, so you didn't plug the show?
I may have... No. Oh, I'm sorry.
Wow!
I'm sorry.
Wow!
It was a prime opportunity. Oh, shoot. My fault, y'all. I'm pretty sure Rachel introduced me and said WNBA All-Star and host of Chinay Golick Jr.
You know what? I'm a counter.
I always tell people you're my better half.
I appreciate that. That is nice of you to butter me up here. We're going to have to check in with Rachel Nichols now and make
sure
that the existence of this plug did or did not happen. And, Chinay, I do want to talk plenty about James Harden and what's going on right now, what potentially could unfold still with Philadelphia and why Philly folks are so hung up on Ben Simmons. But, Chinay, I am curious what you saw and what you made of last night, because we mentioned all the things the NBA is getting ready to deal with right now. The NFL had it in full force. Last night, Dez Bryant tweeting through it on the way into Tuesday Night Football. Ravens get a big win over the Cowboys in that game that we can debate the merit of because it is this year's Cowboys. But, Chinay, how surprised were you seeing Dez Bryant 30 minutes before kickoff tweeting, basically saying, tell me why I was just pulled out and tested for COVID and tested positive, and then we played a football game?
Yeah, at least the game hadn't started, right? Like, it was warm-ups. It hadn't happened yet, because then we'd be feeling like an MLB situation. But I feel for Dez, and I saw those tweets when they were happening and coming out live, and I was like, oh, like, when he was saying, I don't want to do so, I was like, oh, that moment meant so much for him. I mean, the last few years, you know, just bouncing around, trying to find his way back from injury, you know, Achilles, I believe. And, you know, everyone knows him from the Cowboys days, 8 seasons there, and I think he caught a franchise record, 73 touchdowns. Passes. And so this game, his opportunity to return and play after fighting so hard to be back, I can understand why he was emotional. I am glad the protocol stood, because what was it? What did Roger Goodell say not too long ago? He's like, I believe this protocol is everything, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, we're not sure what you're saying. Well, at least we got the message loud and clear here. If they find something like this happening, they're not going to be at the mercy of it. They're going to actually make sure the players are safe, even if the player really, really, like, this game meant so much, as we saw with Dez.
Chinay Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. And you're right, Chinay, it makes perfect sense why he would be emotional. It makes perfect sense why people would not trust the NFL in this situation to do right here, to do right by what's going on. But it's an interesting reminder of where we're at in this current calendar, especially relative to sports, Chinay, is it feels like we went through that cycle of, oh my God, how are they going to play this game? Outrage to tweeting about Hollywood Brown catching a touchdown pass later in that game, the monster rushing performance by the Ravens. Like, we clicked through it pretty quickly over the course of all of this, and it was amazing to me to watch, because it felt like, for me, we're kind of numb to it, but our ESPN NFL analyst Ryan Clark says that, make no mistake, this is not a good situation or a good look for the NFL.
It's actually kind of scary. You know, you almost wish that they just wouldn't have pulled him and just tricked us and pulled the wool over our eyes, because, listen, Dez Bryant was on the field pregame. Dez Bryant was hugging members of the Cowboys staff, warming up with obviously players in his locker room and on his own team. And so that's scary. It's scary to know that even with the constant testing, that you can have a guy preparing to play a game who is COVID positive.
And that part of it, Chinay, from a very human level, I can understand. Now, coming up next, we'll give you the response from Dr. Alan Sills, the NFLPA's chief medical officer, on what he saw from the situation, on what the facts are of this situation. We'll get to that, and we all think the Chiefs are the best team in football still.
Yep.
Coming up next, we have found the dissenting voice, and we will ask him where he is getting this information from. And we'll do it next. It's Chinay Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio, and we'll do it after this word from AT&T.
Now, there are a lot of reasons to like AT&T 5G, to love AT&T 5G. For example, maybe you're Russell Westbrook on the fast break, now with the Wizards Rockets tier. Then you like AT&T 5G because you're fast. Maybe you're Chris Paul on the pick and roll with the rock in his hands. Then you like AT&T 5G because you're secure. Or maybe you're LeBron James and haven't missed a day of work in 17 years. Then you'll like AT&T 5G because you're reliable. Switch to AT&T 5G. It's fast, secure, and reliable, and now nationwide. AT&T 5G, it's not complicated. 5G requires a compatible plan. 5G may not be in your area. See AT&T.com/5G for you for 5G coverage details. Ravens with a must win, but what about the Chiefs? What does this mean for the field? We will talk that next on Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I'm not going to lie, just hearing this song makes me feel drunk.
And the song is Mr. Brightside for those who are listening on the podcast.
Yeah, anyone listening to the podcast or ESPN Plus who can't hear it, God bless these weird people on Twitch and TikTok who constantly get songs to trend because some 18-year-old kid doesn't know a song that was written 10 years before he was born.
Hey, don't shame that content because our best Kayla Johnson at ESPN does a whole great segment of content where it's like name the 90s and those kids born in the, 2000s that are now in the professional ranks, they can never name them.
Zoomers.
Like, child of Destiny? Destiny's Child. Sorry.
Come fix your life, kids. Chanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chanae Agwumike. I truly am thankful because I look up and saw Mr. Brightside was trending again because someone on Twitch didn't know the song or was slandering it. And now we get to listen to it and feel good. Like, that's the number one on the power rankings. And I do want to ask, as we are joined now on the Shell Penzo Performance Line by Aaron Schatz of Football Outsiders fame, you can catch all the great work they have at Football Outsiders. The Almanac is a staple for anyone looking to dive in to the NFL and see the numbers and the trends that go along with it. But Aaron, you were a spring break DJ back in the day. So I am curious, when you think now, if you are back in the DJ booth post-pandemic when people can go out again, what's the first song you want to light up the dance floor with?
Oh, probably I used to play a triple where I would play If by Janet Jackson, I'm Too Sexy by Right Said Fred, and then I Want You Back by the Jackson 5.
Wow. Let's go.
Wow.
Snaps.
Aaron. I'm fired up right now for this already. So,
for my shit.
Aaron, so yes. can we lock you down for the official Chanae and Golic Jr. post-quarantine party then to DJ a set?
Oh, my God. Please lock me down for all the post-quarantine parties. I'm so ready.
Oh, my God. This is perfect. Aaron Schatz with us here from Football Outsiders and also ready to DJ the post-quarantine party that we go through. But before we get there, Aaron, we've got to get through the rest of this NFL season. And it took an interesting turn last night. We had Tuesday Night Football, Cowboys and Ravens. And I'm curious for you. These are two teams that have certainly underperformed relative to expectation this year. But was there anything we saw from the Ravens win last night that they can replicate, that they can turn into an opportunity to salvage playoff hopes this season?
I mean, their passing game needs to get going. That's the biggest issue for them. And it did a little bit, right? They had the Marquise Brown touchdown. They had that great Miles Boykin touchdown where he was open. I mean, their running game was fantastic, but their running game is usually good. And some of that was the Cowboys' defense being really bad. What the Ravens need to take away is a better passing game. That's what they need over the last 4 weeks.
Here with Aaron Schatz, Football Outsiders here on Chanae and Golic Jr. Chanae Agwumike, Mike Golic Jr. here with you. Now, this was the week where we had the great equalizer in the sense that the Steelers lose, and now we're talking about Kansas City, the Chiefs. Are they the best team in football, right? I feel like this is something that we understand as athletes watching them play, but is there anything to indicate otherwise?
So I'm going to go out on a limb. We actually have the New Orleans Saints as our number one team. Now, obviously, with Taysom Hill at quarterback, they're not the number one team. But when Drew Brees gets back, if Drew Brees plays as well as he did over the first half of the season, and he did play well, even though he didn't in the first couple weeks, for the most part, he played well. If the Saints play that well, they are our number one team. They're a top five team in all three phases of the game. The Chiefs are an amazing passing game, but they're mediocre in pretty much every way. They're just completely lifted by Mahomes.
It really is something I've often likened it to sort of Steph Curry and the Warriors, where they can always shoot themselves back into a game. But we know, Aaron, that's a lot more vital this year because the one seed's more valuable than it's ever been. So I'm curious now, Kansas City was chasing Pittsburgh so much. Pittsburgh takes that loss this weekend. So what's the situation around the one seed looking like for the Pittsburgh Steelers that had a stranglehold on it for a while?
So I still think that Pittsburgh is a good team. I know people want to write them off because of a couple weeks of offensive problems, but they're still the number one defense in the league. So we still have them getting the number one seed in 47% of our simulations, but I would favor Kansas City. A big reason is if you expect Pittsburgh to lose again, they're probably going to lose to, let's say, Buffalo this week. Kansas City, their most likely loss is New Orleans, but that's an out-of-conference loss. So Pittsburgh would lose their tiebreaker if they lose in the conference and Kansas City loses out of the conference.
Aaron Schatz, Football Outsiders here, Chanae and Golic Jr. Now, I want to stay in the AFC, but I want to head to the South. Who's going to win the AFC South? It's been really interesting to follow this between the Colts and the Titans.
We have it about 50-50. The Colts are a little bit favored at 53%. The big difference is just how well they've played this year. The Colts are 8th in our weighted ratings, whereas the Titans are 12th. The Colts are much better defensively, special teams as well. But the Titans do have the easier remaining schedule. And that's why, even though we do think the Colts are better, we have it close to 50-50.
So, Aaron, I am curious because you mentioned your guys' weighted rankings. For anyone looking to check that out, make sure you head to footballoutsiders.com. Looking at those weighted rankings, you guys have the Cleveland Browns team that just beat that Tennessee team handily at 18th in weighted DVOA. So as the rest of the world kind of salivates over this team, what are you guys seeing that leads your numbers to believe that this team is one of the below-average teams in the NFL?
It's complicated because we add up every play, and Cleveland had two games this year where they were just horrendously bad against Pittsburgh and Baltimore earlier in the season. They got totally blown out. That being said, if you take out those two games and you take out the two games they played in high wins, the rest of the season their offense is actually fourth in the league. So their offense is probably better than we're giving them credit for. Their defense and special teams are not. Their defense and special teams are below average. And look at the way they let Tennessee score in the second half. The fact is, not those last couple touchdowns at the end of the game. Those were meaningless. But the Mykal Pruitt touchdowns in third quarter shows you that the Cleveland defense still has a bit to go until they're playoff ready.
It's going to be interesting to watch. I think they're definitely one of the swing states down the stretch that everyone's going to have an eye on. They're certainly outperforming, you know, what we've seen from Cleveland in plenty of past years. So it's already gravy in Cleveland in a lot of ways. Aaron, you're the best. We appreciate the time and insight as always, man. We will start making plans for that party immediately.
Let's go.
Look forward to seeing you there with my Dex.
Aaron Schatz of Football Outsiders. Again, footballoutsiders.com. If you want to check in on all that great information, Janae. And it is really interesting to try and consider down the stretch now the AFC teams outside of that top range. You mentioned Kansas City and Pittsburgh, but then you have Tennessee, you have Baltimore, and you have the Browns in a lot of ways vying for those spots, Indianapolis as well. So I think it's going to be super interesting to see how it shakes out because I don't know how much you can take, like he mentioned, from that Ravens win last night with how bad the Cowboys are.
Exactly, especially defensively. But I think the most interesting part from Aaron just was the fact that, hey, while the Kansas City Chiefs have been winning and Patrick Mahomes is a decisive factor, it's funny how we don't really put that same energy behind Drew Brees just because he's older. And we saw, like, starting off the season, we had a lot of questions about his arm, and you don't have those same questions about Patrick Mahomes. But it's going to be interesting to see as people round into form and get healthier later in the season how this really changes things.
Yeah, Janae, I think the more and more I've talked about, I was talking about this yesterday with Mina Kimes, who does a great job as our NFL analyst here on ESPN, and her and Dan Orlovsky both compared the Pittsburgh Steelers to a team in the NBA that's great at making mid-range jumpers but struggles getting to the rim or hitting threes. The reason Kansas City is such an outlier and lives in our head so much is because they are the ultimate big play phenomenon. They can get out of trouble so quickly. And when I say quickly, I mean like 30 seconds quickly, like we saw them do this weekend against the Broncos. So it complicates it in our mind because we're not used to seeing a team be this potent, this fast, and this blown up down the field.
Yeah, at the top of their peak, the Warriors, I can see that being Kansas City, and maybe, I don't know, the Saints could be like the Lakers, like old school, got the same colorways, you know what I'm saying?
That is true. We're sticking with a lot of gold in this one, so we'll continue to explore the connection between colorways, styles, and all the fights that are coming up down the stretch in the NFL season. But coming up next, we do have to head back to the college ranks and try and figure out what the rest of college football makes of this Big Ten decision. We'll do that next here on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.